are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place, because this is the Willpower Podcast. Hey. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. No way that we... How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today, our special guest is Jen Clough. And Jen is actually an eXp real estate agent based out of the Texas market. So it's an absolute honor to have her on here today. So Jen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Will. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm really looking forward to this. I love working with agents and kind of figuring out why they chose this industry in the first place and how they got to where they are today. So my first question for you is, what was your childhood like and how has it helped turn you into who you are today?
Oh my gosh. Good question. Yeah, right? Honestly, my childhood was just super simple. I mean, as a child, you're just so protected from the world, right? So I just feel like it was just kind of all of the magic of childhood, just filled with like family and friends and love and magic and all of that wonderfulness. And I think probably every single experience that I had in my life and I'm continuing to have has just kind of shaped me in who I am today. And I'm sure I'll continue to learn and grow and constantly evolve. So hopefully I always do, at least.
Gotcha. I love it. And so you mentioned that you were in investing and then a real estate agent like you are today. So when you were growing up, did you always want to go into real estate or did you have other aspirations?
You know, I've always loved homes, as funny as that might be. I remember when I was like 10 years old, I wanted to be an interior designer, and I've always loved architecture. My first degrees actually were in interior design and architecture. So homes have always been something that I've just been really attracted to. But I don't think I really knew like what a realtor was when I was little, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. And did you end up going to college then after high school, or did you go right into real estate?
Yeah, no, I went to college. I actually am from Canada originally, and I was a psychologist in Canada. So I've gone to graduate school, but I'm married to an American and he's in the military, and moving around state to state makes licensure very difficult for psychology. And so I followed my next love, which was real estate and homes and all of that. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Very interesting. So I'm kind of curious, like you mentioned growing up, you always loved homes. So why did you decide to go into psychology in the first place instead of just going into like real estate in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's something that I always loved too. In fact, I found a journal once from when I was like 11 years old. And I talked about how when I grew up, I wanted to be a child research psychologist and an architect. And like those were like the two things that I wanted to do. So I've always loved homes. I've always been drawn to them, but I was always drawn to psychology as well. And I always, apparently when I was little, had a goal of like doing both of those things. And then those were the things that I ended up focusing on in school and careers. So that's kind of cool to look back and be like, oh, I wanted to do that. And look at that, I kind of have. So yeah.
Look at that, accomplishing goals. I love it. Right? So after you were a psychologist for a little bit, then you decided to go into real estate. So did you do investing then right out of the gate in real estate, or were you an agent right away?
No, we looked at some real estate investing. So we kind of started slow. Our first thing was just doing a live-in flip. A poor little military family making very little military money. We had kids, so I was a stay-at-home mom at first, and we were just trying to, you know, figure out some life, trying to build some capital ourselves. And so just using the great thing that is a VA loan to do a little bit of a live-in flip, make sure we're in it 2 years so we didn't have to pay any capital gains, and then kind of move on from there has kind of started things. And then we've looked at diversifying from there. And I mean, obviously the possibilities are endless. And then after that, I always knew I wanted to get my license, but we knew that our time in California was going to be coming short, and I didn't want to be getting my license and trying to build a business and then just leave a few months later. So we just waited until we got to Texas. And then I instantly started taking my courses to make sure I could get my license right away to actually start working as a realtor.
Gotcha. Very interesting. So when you were living and flipping, so you didn't actually rent out the property, you just lived in them for like a couple of years and then you kind of renovated and then
Yeah,
resold it
for sure.
later.
Yeah, exactly. And my realtor in California, actually, he was the one who said, he was like, "Oh, so you're a flipper." And I was like, no, I'm not a flipper, because you think of like HGTV and like all that. And he's like,
Right.
no, you are. He's like, you just live in it for 2 years and you do it. And then I was like, oh man, I always wanted to do that, but like, I didn't think I was doing that. He's like, you're
That's
totally a
funny.
flipper. You're just living in it for 2 years, like every
Yeah.
time.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's definitely a very good strategy. And so how many houses were you guys able to like to live and flip?
And we were in three different homes. We were only there for, well, I mean, almost 6 years. So, we're in three different homes. And then now we're here in Texas. And I mean, I'm already doing projects here. So we'll see, I guess, how long we live in this home here. And obviously, always looking for different opportunities. I mean, you're always looking for short-term rentals or long-term rentals or, just different, even conglomerates that you can join to get involved with storage units or, multifamily housing, student housing, different things like that as well that we've been able to invest in along the way. So.
Gotcha. That's amazing. It always interests me because I know a lot of people, they want to do the flipping thing and they think it's all like glamorous and easy to do and you're just gonna make a huge $100,000 profit at the end of the day. As you know, like it's definitely a lot harder than it looks. And so I'm
Oh, yeah.
kind of curious because obviously you didn't have the background in real estate, you were a psychologist before that. So how did you kind of learn the skills necessary to be able to do these flips successfully?
Oh my goodness. It's way harder than it looks, first of all. But second of all, I was lucky in that my renovated their homes growing up a lot. So he had learned how to do tiling. He had learned, a lot of different skills kind of growing up, which helped a lot. So we were able to do our own things. Also, YouTube can teach you a lot of things, but you also need to know when to like contract out because you don't want to, at least for me. I mean, some people's goals might be different, but you don't want to kind of just put lipstick on a pig. And you want to be able to make a quality home for someone to move into and to be proud of your work at the end of the day is really what it is. So knowing what you can realistically do and have it be good quality, and then also knowing when you need to kind of contract out is really important, I feel like. So, yeah.
Gotcha. And so I'm assuming like the bigger parts of the renovation you just contract out, then when it's like adding like a deck or something like that, you would contract that part of it out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, I mean, things like right now we're adding gutters and widening the driveway, and both of those things are definitely things that I'm getting quotes for and contracting out. I'm not going to be laying new driveway down my
Gotcha.
property anytime soon. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, it seems like you guys are doing like super well and I'm making some money doing these flips too. So why did you decide then to become more of like a real estate agent rather than just staying on the investing side of things and doing these flips and just buying properties?
I've always loved the idea of being an agent. I've always, I've kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit, which goes along with obviously investing and flipping and that kind of thing. Obviously, there's the draw to having my own license so that if we're buying, I can save on
Right.
commission when we're selling and things like that as well. But also, we unfortunately had a really bad experience with a realtor, one time where she just didn't give us the level of service that I feel like families deserve. And it was a really good eye-opener for me to just be able to see the things that I wish had happened, and why it wasn't a good fit. And I just was like, man, I just know that like I could give such better service to people. And I just, I would have done this and I would have done that. And it would have just been so much nicer. And I guess despite, like the psychology and loving the homes and kind of the varied background that I might have, at the end of the day, I have an entrepreneurial spirit and I just love taking care of people. And so I love that those two things can combine with me being a realtor. And especially with my husband being active duty military, I absolutely love supporting military families like my own, especially if they're relocating. I mean, when you're buying a home sight unseen from across the country, you need someone who's really gonna support you and help you and give you very specific kind of help. And so it was almost kind of having that bad experience that was kind of really the final straw for me to say, okay, I need to do this so that other people don't have experiences like that and I can help give them, the kind of experience that I wish we had had. So,
Gotcha. That's kind of funny.
yeah.
And like looking at your story, like in general, like you were like the perfect fit, like to become a really, like you said, you had that psychology background, so you know how to deal with people.
you already did flips, so you like know how much like renovations would cost if people want to, if you're working with like investors and how to like work with people in general. So I just feel like it's like the perfect mix kind of to be like a real estate agent. And it's funny to me that like a bad real estate agent kind of pushed you into the industry. So
Right. Yeah. I mean, so at the time it was like a really upsetting experience for us, obviously, to kind of have this bad fit for us. But in the end, it's helped lead me down a good path. So that's good.
Gotcha. And so most of the people listening to this podcast like newer agents themselves. And so I think it'd be helpful for them if like don't mention the name obviously, but like what are some of the things that that agent didn't do that you didn't like? So like people listen to this know like not to do that per se. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, honestly, there were some straight up ethics violations. So don't do things that are unethical and dishonest for
Gotcha.
one. But
That's a good
for
start.
two, yeah, good start, good start. Just really good, open, honest communication is super important. There are things like we bought our house sight unseen, which I get that a lot of people don't do, right? But we were across the country. It was a military move. We didn't have a chance to fly out. And we back onto a cemetery. Our backyard has a cemetery behind us.
Oh
And
my.
in the MLS, it was described as a green belt. And our agent didn't tell us that it's a cemetery back there. And like, stuff like that's kind of
Dude.
important to know. So there was a lot of different things, but honestly, it just
Yeah.
comes down. Yeah. It just comes down to really that duty of just,
That's crazy, actually.
I know, I know, I there, I really could go on probably for our entire time today, just talking about that transaction with this realtor. And a long list of things. We also had the house sitting empty for 6 weeks before we came because we closed early because the market was crazy. So we started looking, really early, but we got under contract really fast. And so it was sitting empty for 6 weeks. And in those 6 weeks, she never went above and beyond. She didn't come like flush toilets and turn on faucets and make sure the house was okay. And I suddenly got an electric bill for $200 when no one was living here. And I was like, what's going on? And she had set the AC to 72 degrees, even though no one was living here.
Oh my.
Just things like that, that I'm like, okay, you just really need to put yourself in your client's position and give them the very best of you. Give them the best service that you can. Give them the service that you would want your own family to have, and be ethical and honest along the way. And then I think you'll make a client happy at the end of the day. And then they'll refer you to other people, right? Like, not only did she push me into the industry, but obviously I'm never going to refer anyone to her because I wouldn't trust her with any of my family or friends, right? So.
Right. And from that agent's perspective, like when you work like that, like obviously over some time, like you're pretty much going to kill your business over time because no one is going to give you a referral, just like you're talking about. And yeah, so like at the end of the day, like you just gotta be honest as an agent and put the client first in pretty much every situation. So I think
Absolutely.
those are pretty good examples.
Yeah,
So since you joined real estate as an actual agent, which was what about 70 days ago, I mean, you already got some listings going, so that's actually incredible. So like what have been some of your key tips for success early on as a real estate agent that's like different than being an investor?
I think it's really important to be genuine, to be yourself, to put yourself out there. And I don't know. I think it's really easy to, especially as a new agent, people try and like tell you what to do or try and sell you leads or sell you this marketing plan or that coaching plan or that whatever. Like everyone wants to sell you something, and they might be agents themselves who aren't actually doing the work now. Now they're just trying to sell coaching, or now they're just trying to sell leads or whatever.
Right.
And it's almost kind of just like new agents are this like perfect little prey for them, but really, if you're just genuine and you're willing to work hard and be ethical, like it will come, And I think I feel really, really blessed as to how it's going for me so far. And I really don't think I'm doing anything special. I'm just being myself and trying to give good service, and I'm putting myself out there for people. I mean, We moved less than a year ago, and so I don't even have a sphere of influence. It's not like I can go to my neighbors and they all know me and I'm now using, you know, them as my clients and that kind of thing, right? Like I don't have people who are just like thinking of me and, oh, let's use Jen and that kind of thing either. But I have 3 clients under contract. I've got 3 listings coming up, 1 hitting MLS tomorrow. I've got other clients flying in this weekend that I'm sure will be under contract for this weekend. I have a out-of-state referral that's closed and 3 others that are going to. I've got a lot going on and it's busy. It's busier than I thought it would be at this point for sure. But it all just comes from me being honest and genuine and just putting myself out there. And I think people see that and they feel that, and they know that I care about them and supporting their family. And that's working out well for me. So I just encourage new agents to just be yourself, and whatever will work for you, clients will feel that and they'll be drawn to that. And don't try and do what works for someone else, because that works for them, because it jives with them. It won't necessarily jive with you and your clients, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, I mean, you're definitely off to a great start. It's pretty impressive, like you said, because you don't really have that sphere of influence either. And a lot of agents are taught, like, go to your sphere of influence and kind of get those leads to kind of help your business get off the bat in the early stages. So from your perspective, like, what are you doing differently to kind of generate these leads? Because like you said, you can't just get those referrals and that sphere of influence stuff going for you. So like, how are you generating these?
Social media. It's every single one has been through social media.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just putting myself out there on social media. I'm sharing information. I'm offering help to people, and it's just coming. So I haven't done anything yet. I haven't had time, honestly, yet to like figure out a marketing campaign and like whatever. Like I haven't bought any leads. I haven't spent any money on farming a neighborhood. I haven't anything like that. Like I just have been using social media, and so far so good. And you know, the market changes and everything, and now it's the busy season. So maybe come the fall, I'm going to have time to breathe and I'll decide to spend some money on marketing and farming a neighborhood or whatever. But for right now, it's just all been social media driven.
Yeah, I guess it's good problems though, right? So
right?
Can't complain too much with that.
Yeah.
And so what main platforms are you using? Like Instagram, Facebook, or what's your main platforms?
Yeah, Instagram and Facebook. Those are the only ones. I keep wanting to get on TikTok. I keep wanting to do reels on Instagram because I know that that drives a lot of traffic. But again, I haven't had the time because I also have children. And despite my love and passion for real estate and wanting to help my clients and stuff, my family and kids still come first. And that's always a goal of mine, even with real estate and my entrepreneurial spirit, is I want to have balance in my life as well. So, you know, I could spend time trying to figure out reels and figure out TikTok and all of that stuff. But while I'm this busy with clients, I just want to, spend any other time I have with my family. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And so are you just like posting on these platforms?
Yeah.
Or running ads on these platforms?
No, I'm not running ads. I haven't done anything. I think I tried to run an ad once. Because Facebook like offered me a credit or something, and I was like, oh sure, if they're gonna pay for it, then I might as well, you know.
Right.
And then they rejected my ad for some reason, and I didn't have time to look into why they rejected my ad, so I didn't bother. So I'm just posting, and I'm like joining groups and answering questions and commenting, and yeah. And it's just
honestly incredible, like you said, because like you're not from Texas originally, because you're from California, and you're just like posting without running ads, and you're still getting these leads coming in. So that is super impressive. I think it's a pretty good strategy for other realtors, you know, that don't have a ton of money to spend on ads as well, like to use early on. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important to find your target market, right? Like I specialize in relocation, and I truly understand that, right? Like as a military spouse who has relocated so many times, who has bought sight unseen across the country multiple times, I understand the stressors of relocating across the country. I understand what it's like to try and rely on a realtor taking a video of a neighborhood and a home for you and trying to decide if you want to buy that home based on this video that they're showing you, you know, and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I know that I can bring kind of an added value to these families who are thinking about relocating to Texas. And not all of my clients are relocating to Texas, but there is a good chunk of them that are. And because I'm able to speak to that and I'm able to see it from their side of things, they see the value that I can add. And I think that really helps them feel confident in having me represent them.
Yeah, definitely makes it a better fit. And so before we run out of time, so I hope we can accomplish in the next couple of years.
Oh, sorry. I think it broke up just a little bit. What was that question?
Oh, sorry. So like looking at your future, what are some of your big goals that you hope to accomplish in the next couple of years?
Oh, that's a great question. honestly, it's kind of hard when you kind of reach a goal that you were working towards to then know what's next, right? Because for like the last couple years, it was like, okay, I just want to get out of California, get my license and become a realtor. And that was kind of what I was focusing on. And then now I've done that. And so now it's just like, okay, so what's next? So really, I mean, honestly, the way I picture my business as far as being a realtor, my ideal would be to be in a position where my clients just really love me and they really appreciate the value that I've brought into their lives and that they love me enough that they do a great job of referring their family and friends to me. That is kind of really my ultimate goal because then, you know, your own sphere of influence doesn't matter. Your own marketing budget doesn't matter. If your clients love you and you've added so much value to their lives and they're referring people to you, you will have continual clients coming regardless of your marketing budget, regardless of your own sphere. So to me, that also speaks to if I'm doing a really good job and if I'm really supporting the families the way that I want to. So I guess as a realtor, if I am getting referrals from my clients, that will let me know I'm doing a really good job. And so I know that that takes some time because I need to kind of build up my first clients, then they need to get to know people, and then they need to refer people. Right. But I would say this time next year, I hope that I really have referrals coming in from my previous clients. And then obviously I just want to continue to expand on the investment side of things as well for our own, you know, personal family investments, and then just go from there and see where things go.
Gotcha. I love it. I love it. And before we hop off, is there anything else that you'd like to say? And if people want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
I just want to say, just be yourself and work hard and be ethical. Those are probably the most important things. And really just have confidence, trust it'll come and it will. And if you want to reach out to me, obviously Facebook and Instagram, I'm just Jen Clef, San Antonio Realtor on Facebook, and then just SA Realtor Jen on Instagram. And you can just send me a message.
Awesome. All right, guys, there you have it. Jen Clef, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Okay. No way to-